Greetings again. This is Casey Luskin with ID the Future. We have on the show with us Dr. Frank Tipler, who's going to continue our conversation about fine-tuning of the universe, the multiverse, and the evidence for cosmic design. So this leads to a question that I think many of our listeners are interested in. I'm sure that some of our listeners are familiar with your book, The Cosmological Anthropic Principle, which discusses a lot of the fine-tuning principles where our universe is friendly for life. And I know that you have some interesting views on this that I'd very much like for us to be able to talk about, Dr. Tipler, as far as obviously a lot of ID folks see fine-tuning as an argument for design of the universe. And obviously a lot of folks are maybe skeptical of the multiverse, and you might hold slightly different views on these topics, but I'd like to ask you about cosmic fine-tuning, and maybe we could talk about some of the finely tuned parameters of the universe, and also whether or not this makes for an argument for design of the universe, or is our universe really specially finely tuned for life? So let's talk about this a little bit, if you don't mind. What are some of these finely tuned parameters that make our universe friendly to life?
Well, the one which was most popular, of course, is the fine structure constant, which basically measures the strength of the electromagnetic interaction. It's basically the charge on the electron. Now, if you had changed this slightly, what would happen is that the evolution of stars would be changed significantly, speeded up or slowed down, depending on direction, and it would be difficult to have a planet like the Earth surviving in its more or less constant form, as we know it has over billions of years, which would allow the evolution of life. You look at many different constants out there, and you can write a book about them, and I have, and more scholars since then have looked even more deeply into it, and it looks like that these constants are adjusted so that indeed life can evolve in this particular universe. Now, you have to be careful about the fine-tuning argument because people have taken it to a different type of multiverse, different from the one I'm discussing, in which they're imagining that the laws of physics over all this different type of multiverse, not quantum mechanical, but a different type of multiverse in which we imagine that all possible constants of nature, all possible equations of nature actually exist there. There is, in other words, over this type of multiverse, chance operating. And so it's just chance that we find ourselves in this particular universe. Of course, our universe, which gives rise to our type of life, would be consistent with the evolution of our type of life. But it's Darwinian natural selection. So we just have chance operating not at the level of life, but at the level of the universe itself. Now, I think this is an unscientific way to proceed toward the multiverse, because what is the experimental evidence, I say, out there that indicates this sort of multiverse actually exists? How can you say, on the basis of physics, that there are other laws governing things? You can't, because all we've got is this universe governed by the laws which we observe acting in this universe. Now, it's quite different with the type of multiverse I've described, because all I'm doing is describing what the equation of quantum mechanics, Schrödinger's equation, and the Dirac equation, and other equations of quantum field theory and quantum mechanics say the universe is made up of, and we verified the predictions of this equation in the laboratory. We have never seen in the laboratory or in the astronomical telescope another universe out there. All we see when we look out as far as we can, but with our telescopes, is the same sort of matter that exists here, governed by the same sort of laws that we see things governed hereby. So there's no evidence for this non-quantum mechanical a multiverse. I think we have to accept is the fact that all the universes exist are set up for intelligent life to actually exist in them. And I think intelligent life indeed is necessary in a universe governed by the particular laws which we see ourselves existing in. I don't think that a universe has the chance of having intelligent life missing from it. I think intelligent life is intended to evolve, and we should not be surprised, therefore, that it has.
Well, this really helps me personally to clarify my understanding of your views, Dr. Tripoli, because I heard you talking about the multiverse, and I wasn't even aware that there were different types of multiverses, but this makes a lot of sense. Obviously, the formulation that we hear at Discovery Institute constantly is people saying, oh, well, there's this cosmic lottery out there, and there are, you know, infinite numbers of universes with, as you put it correctly, different parameters, different values of the fundamental constants, different physical laws, some of which are friendly to life, some of which are not. And of course, ours just happened to win that cosmic lottery. But what you're saying is that there is not a cosmic lottery in the sense of some universes are going to have life, but the vast majority are going to lose the lottery and are not going to have life. That lottery is not taking place. There is no multiverse to solve the fine-tuning problem for the materialist or the atheist who doesn't want to believe that at the base of everything there is an intended design of the universe to have life. That's not the kind of multiverse that you believe might exist. This is a different type of thing.
The type of multiverse I expound is the type of multiverse that is required by the equations of physics, by the Schrödinger equation, by the Hempel-Jacobi equation. It's always been in those equations. We just have stubborn physicists that will not admit the objects which they see in the equations are actually there. Eventually, the equations will win because the equations describe reality. Physicists prove every day and have, in the case of the Hamilton-Jacobi equation, 150 years that this particular equation holds. And I have just shown that the Schrödinger equation, which supposedly replaced the Hamilton-Jacobi equation, is really a special case of the Hamilton-Jacobi equation, specialized by requiring that the universe be deterministic. Whereas the materialists are trying to escape the consequences of this by imagining, and that's all the evidence they've got, imagination, i.e. no evidence at all, these universes out there which have different constants, different physical laws. There is no experimental evidence out there at all for anything like that. And as scientists, we cannot go beyond our equations. We cannot go beyond our experiments. We have to accept the experiments. We have to accept the equations. If you go beyond them, you're being a theologian rather than a scientist.
Yeah.
So the intelligent designers, remarkably, are the scientists in the game. It's the materialists that are invoking things which are unseen, which have no experimental evidence whatsoever.
Yeah, it's definitely a philosophically motivated position. And I'd like to actually get your take on an argument that I've always found convincing, and maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, but I've always thought that the materialist version of the multiverse hypothesis, where you sort of just invent as however many universes you need to solve some problem, maybe, you know, you have some unlikely event, oh, we'll just invent universes until this event now becomes likely. So as a lawyer, I find these kinds of arguments cutting. Let's say that you're a bad lawyer that's defending a company where there's a cancer cluster that has appeared in that company's town. And the odds of that cancer cluster, you know, appearing in that town are maybe 1 in 20 billion. And so you just say, well, you know, there are 20 billion other universes out there where this cancer cluster did not appear, but we just happen to live in the one where it did appear, and it has nothing to do with my company, my chemical factory being based in this town. Our universe just happened to get unlucky, so to speak, where we're the one where this cancer cluster appeared, and so you can't hold my client responsible for this. And even though all the scientific evidence points to the fact that there's a chemical factory in the town, there's a cancer cluster around the chemical factory, it really destroys our ability to rule out chance and do science once you just give yourself license to invent however many universes you need to avoid coming to some particular scientific conclusion. I've always found that the sort of materialist multiverse version of that hypothesis, it destroys our ability to do science. Is this, am I onto something here? Is this right or wrong?
I think you're absolutely correct here. And as a matter of fact, the first attempt to involve chance was Ludwig Boltzmann, who invented, and correctly invented, the modern interpretation of entropy as, well, technical term is proportional to the logarithm. Entropy is proportional to the logarithm of the number of microstates consistent with a given macrostate. Now, he was arguing that this would naturally give rise, with this definition, to the increase of entropy with time. It was quickly proven that given classical mechanics, this won't work unless you initially adjust the universe so that it's in very low, or I prefer, zero entropy initial condition. Then you have a chance of deducing the increase of entropy over time. But Boltzmann wanted a universe that exists forever and will last forever to avoid this embarrassing God coming in. And he realized, this won't work. So he said, well, let's suppose that we just happen to find ourselves in a low entropy portion of an overall universe. Here he was using universe in a different sense. We would now call a multiverse. But there are other universes out there in which the entropy, from our standpoint, is actually decreasing. Overall, the entropy is not changing. Now, Richard Feynman responded to this in his book, Lectures on Physics. He said that if you look out further and further into space, which we can, given our superior instrumentation, what we see is, lo and behold, the entropy proceeding in exactly the same way as the entropy is proceeding here. It gives no indication of any universe out there which has entropy moving in the opposite direction. Second law says entropy is increasing. We would expect, on Boltzmann's argument, we got better instrumentation, they would see an area of a universe out there when the entropy is decreasing. We see nothing like that. So the problem is that this view, which Boltzmann had, requires, for some reason, we are an extremely large area of low entropy, whereas we would expect, on his own argument, a small area of zero entropy. So for some reason, Feynman did not know. We do now know, because we are better off now. We are 50 years later. We can conclude that the laws of physics are forcing low entropy for the early universe, but it's the whole of this particular universe that has to be low entropy. Mm-hmm. Laws of physics are insisting on this, mm-hmm. and actually across the universes of the true multiverse, which is required by Hamilton-Jacobi, mm-hmm. by Schrödinger, by quantum mechanics. So we have an explanation. It rules out, in other words, the chance explanation in exactly the way you said. So you have an authority for your interpretation, Richard Feynman. He said it before you, but I've always said that the correct argument is reproduced again and again.
Thank you, Dr. Tipler. It looks like we're running out of time for this podcast, so join us for more with Dr. Frank Tipler on the origin of the universe and the fine-tuning of the cosmos. This is Casey Luskin for ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.